record again. Are you recording?
The light's on.
Yeah, the light was on. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, when I was younger, so my parents were Holocaust survivors, right? And they had me. They were much older, like, than anybody else's parents. And I remember, like, my mother, like, didn't dye her hair. So whenever she came, then everybody would say, oh, your grandmother's here. Like, I just, you know what I mean? It was tough. And I remember once I had this performance, I didn't tell her.
Oh.
I didn't want her to come. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And she found out later. Mm-hmm. She was like, I don't understand. How come you didn't tell me? You know, I didn't want to say, well, because. But it was, why was this? Because it's this image. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to be the one, do you know what I mean, with the booby when everybody else had. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt so out of place. It was just really painful. So I'm just saying, like, so we all suffering, we all have these little things. It takes time to grow up and go, who cares? You know, like, my mother was amazing, so too bad. She had great hair, you know what I mean? Like, get over it. But it takes time for us, you know what I mean, to move forward. But it isn't so simple, right? So Shem is saying, like, I feel bad, but the Jewish people are compared to olive oil, and the purest oil is the one that gets
squished. It's interesting.
So the Torah tells
me. Really interesting.
So it's not so simple. But what's happening is that, like, Hashem is like that personal trainer, and it's so he has a recognition. When we look at all these different shining stars, right? He has the recognition of who you are and what you've got. Like, he knows what your juice is. Like, you know, he knows. That's what they say, right? That we can count how many seeds there are in an apple, but only God can count how many apples there are in a seed.
Hmm.
Okay. So this is what's going on here. So he's looking at this lemon or whatever we are, an orange, right? And he knows how much juice there really is in there. Okay. All right. So it may not be easy. So the person who's getting squeezed is sort of feeling like the worst. But really Hashem is saying it's not easy and we would never ask for this. Those who get hit really have what to give. Do you know what I'm saying? But do we go around going, hit me so I can be the shining star? I was, like, lined up today in No Frills. You know, people are talking on their phones now, so you're hearing their whole personal life. And I wanted to cry. Like, this girl's on the phone, like, it's a phone girl. I just barely know her, but just listening to the story, it was terrible. You know, like, oh, like, her son's getting a checkup and his heart's off and his this is off and he has, you know, he has a seizure, so he has heart medication to seizure medication. It's a whole big mess. And then I hear her say, my daughter just got kicked out of the school that she's in because she's got ADD and she was just, and she's behaviorally an issue. And then she's saying, oh, and although her daughter got engaged, they have no money to pay for the wedding. Like, I'm listening to this whole conversation. I mean, I'm not supposed to be. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're actually supposed to listen to that.
Yes, yes. I know. I actually think that's what I was thinking about. Yeah, yeah, anyway. I probably was meant to be there because it didn't make any sense that I was there. Yeah. Okay, anyway, I figured something like that. Yeah. But anyway, but I'm just trying to say, should I be like, these are service. You know what I mean? Like, this is somebody holding, like,
a load of it,
man. And I couldn't believe, like, she was strong. Like, you know, the conversation was still from a point of strength. Like, but it was just the way it is. So this is what I mean. So for each and every one of us, you know, God knows, he's the personal trainer. So he knows who can carry what, right? Now, these are things and these are lessons that you incorporate for who? For yourself. The Torah tells you there's only one time that you're allowed to be an apikoros. You know what an apikoros means?
No.
A person who says, there's no such thing as God. I can't believe everything the Torah says. Only once. When is that one time? Is when someone else has... Yeah, that's one. When other people have tzuris. You're not supposed to believe, oh, Hashem's going to save the story. You need to know you've got to put your two cents into. It's the only time that you're allowed to say, you know what? Maybe God won't help because I'm needed. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know.
It's a very interesting idea. The Torah tells you the only time that you can be so-called an apikoros, that you can, like, deny.
Deny God?
Not deny God, but deny, well, that concept, not in the literal sense. I'm talking sort of superficially.
Okay.
Is when someone is in service, you're not supposed to turn around and go, well, you know what?
It'll
it was
okay.
So personally prescribed by God, and God's going to be there for them. see you. Okay? It's the only time that you're supposed to say, you know what? Even if it says that in the Torah, it's not 100%. I need to be in this story too. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
so it's not literal. It's more as, do you know what I'm saying? It's, I don't know what the word would be. It's not to be literally taken, but to just guide you into the fact that you don't look at someone else's tzuris and go, oh, sorry, okay, and walk away. Do you know what I mean? You have to feel that person's pain. You can't say this is going to be the end of the story. It's all a happy ending. Yes, but we're going to work through the pain with you. There's a lot to learn, like from what I'm going to be saying about this idea. So Torah tells you some very important things. Four things you must teach your children. Okay, these are the four most important things you got to teach your children. All right? So it's interesting. One, of course, is to learn Torah, right? You need instructions to living, so obviously Torah would be the number one. How to make a living, okay? This is a very real world, all right? You cannot expect them, and you should not let them become a burden onto the community. You know, you teach someone to make a living, that's part of the mitzvah. Not only for them, but for the rest of the Jewish people too, right? Because otherwise everyone's a big burden.
So that's one of the mitzvahs is to
it's to actually teach, to give someone a job and to teach someone, even more than to give them, more than to give them like tzedakah, is to teach them how to make their own money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So help them to find a shidduch. Very important for you to help them to find a shidduch. And then number four was teach them how to swim. Okay? So you see all these like Orthodox swim schools. Like, it's a mitzvah. Okay. So now you like you made a great face. Okay, Carla made like I said, swim through life. Swim through your challenges. How do you hit the waves? Sometimes you're going to go under it. Sometimes you have to go over it. Do you know what I mean? That's what swim means. All right? Because the Torah is telling you one thing you have to know, and really, we got to keep it going, because it's so much in the spiritual world as much as it is in the physical. This you for sure know, right, Kathy? If you stop moving, okay, your body atrophies, which means that it just shrinks, its potential shrinks, it can actually disintegrate, right? You can actually lose your movement. So Torah is telling you throughout your life, you are going to have to keep swimming, okay? You're going to have to face these different challenges. You're going to have to keep moving. A human being in this world is called a holech. After this world, you're going to have lots of rest. Okay? Doesn't mean we don't want to enjoy this world. Okay, we're going to enjoy this too, all right? Okay. All right. All right. So we know we're going to get challenges, but we're not going to ask for them. And therefore, that's why every Rosh Hashanah, I don't go around saying, just have a good year, good luck. You know, everything that happens is for the best, so good. So it's very interesting. So you'll see Lubavitchers will often give you a bracha that you should have revealed good. Okay, revealed means good that is extremely obvious. That's the concept of a year that is what? Lashana Tova U? Yes. Which means not only good, but good sweet. And sweet, right? Because many things can be good for you, right? Antibiotics. But I don't want to have you wish you a year of antibiotics, right? So that's something that we need to keep in mind. And you want which kind of a year? A physically sweet year, a emotionally sweet year, a spiritually sweet year. Mm. Now, when it comes your way that you get this challenge and it doesn't seem so sweet, then you have to come into a few things that you need to understand, right? So the greatest tool in any Jew's toolbox, the number one tool is Emunah. Because even before prayer, right? Because Emunah, you have to believe that you're talking to someone, okay? Who really cares about you, right? Who loves you, right? Who knows you. Who, like, the hardest part of a challenge, as much as you're standing there going, God, please get me out of this, what are you also acknowledging?
There's a God.
There's a God. And what are you also acknowledging?
He put you in.
Yes! That is probably the most important part of the story. I'm not joking.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah.
It's sometimes very hard, though.
Yeah. Yes. It's very hurtful, because you sometimes think, like, what the heck?
Like,
can't you
really
put somebody else in this? Okay. Or, like, not, or I don't even wish this. Put my enemy, you know, put an enemy of the Jewish people in this.
It's not me for about 40 more days.
Yeah, forget it. Do me a favor and find someone else. So I'm going to tell you a story. I just happened to hear this today. That it was a very cute story. So this one of these women was telling me that one of her friends once, like on Yom Kippur, she had this big urge to get a strawberry milkshake.
On Yom Kippur?
On Yom Kippur, okay. Oh. And she had been fasting like for years, very like, you know, conservative, but she just always did fast. So she's talking to herself on Yom Kippur, true story. She goes, oh my God, this fasting thing is so stupid. Like, I have no idea why I've been doing this for years. Like, all I can think about is that strawberry milkshake. And like, what's the big deal? Like, will anybody really know? And she left Shul. She got in her car. It's a true story. And she drove, like, out of the neighborhood because she didn't really want anyone to ever see. Okay, and she goes into the store. I don't know where it was. Tim Hortons. I don't know where. She goes in and she says, as she's going in, she goes, like, for sure there's, like, I'm not going to worry about this. Like, you think God could care less about me and my milkshake? Oh, come on. It's not a big deal. And she buys the milkshake. And she starts drinking milkshake. And she goes, see? I'm 100% right. Like, God did not strike me down.
Whoa, 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 I'm fine.
You know, right? Finishes the milkshake, and she gets into the car and turns it on, and it's not going.
Busted.
God
busted. Okay, so busted. But what's the beauty of the story? So I said to this, the ladies, I said, she's one lucky chick. Because a lot of times you play that game with God, and God goes, okay.
Go for it.
Go for it. Not interested? See you later, folks. The fact that he gave her that, he must have understood there was something inside her. You know what I mean? Like, you're making a mistake. People make mistakes.
She go off the derrick.
Right. And right, right.
And she gave,
and she thank God, she was smart enough to say, busted. Right? Because she could have also said, oh, just a coincidence, big deal. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
The Torah tells you when you're beloved by God, he bothers you. When the snake was punished, what was the snake's punishment?
To go on the ground, no legs.
And eat?
Dirt.
Dirt. So what does that mean? You don't need no God. There is dirt everywhere you go. That was God's way of saying to the snake, sayonara, whatever, sayonara, like goodbye. I don't need you anymore. So when you get these little, they're not fun. Like, I'm not going to minimize them. And the Torah doesn't minimize them either. The Torah tells you, cry, because it hurts. And don't fake it. And realize that this is painful. And yes, it's coming from you, Hashem, all this pain. Do you know what I mean? Please, I can't get out of this without your help. Yes, you do know who I am. Yes, you do know what I have inside of me. So help me actualize it, but I can't do it without you. Right? And you can ask for it to stop. Yes, 100% you can. And the faster the Torah tells you that you accept the reality of where it truly is coming from, the faster it can go away. That's already a huge
step. Yeah, the Bris Lovers say that.
Yeah, everyone says that. It's a huge step in the right direction, is to right away recognize this is coming from you, God. Now, even if you're making some stupid mistakes, like, I don't want you to throw every heavy on God. You can also be making plenty of stupid mistakes, but he's letting you make those stupid mistakes. And why is he doing that? Because sometimes he's trying to, like, shake you up. I remember once I was listening to a speech that Rabbi Tauber was giving. This guy was flying high. Guy was like a billionaire. He had everything, good looking, you know, he got it. And one by one, Hashem was just striking him like everything was going, everything was going. If you go on TorahAnytime.com, there's a person like that right now who became Rabbi Mizrahi's number one student.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's an interesting story. Mm-hmm. Guy was like a really big in Wall Street, made billions of dollars, right? And he had like a very simple thing. He had like hemorrhoids. What's the big deal? Hemorrhoids. Like, he wanted to get an operation. And one mistake with that operation rendered him in the most incredible pain and nervous reality, like terrible, terrible stuff. And he was taken down completely.
Really?
Lost his money, like lost everything, his health, you know.
It can happen.
It can happen. It was a great, like, it was if Hashem was, like, it was almost the story of Eov. Like, it was crazy to listen to. And he just didn't know what to do with himself. And he started, like, learning Torah online. Meanwhile, he was married to a non-Jewish girl that he loved. Loved her. Loved her. Like, and he was, like, moving forward and doesn't know, like, kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's very interesting. And then in the end, he gets her, he tells her, I want you to listen to listen to Rabbi Mizrahi online. And she slowly but surely becomes very interested, and she was, you know, converts and becomes an amazing, beautiful story.
Wow.
Crazy how, like, his mother ended up setting him up with this chavrusa
that changes his life, and all by accident. It was crazy. Like, she was calling a number in Israel was the wrong number. The person who picked up ended up being her niece, who ended up having this brother who was a big Talmud Chacham, you know, that kind of story, who ended up learning with this guy. And he, in the end, he said he really felt that Hashem took him down just to build him up, and now he became a rabbi, and he speaks, and he, do you know what I mean? It turned his whole life upside down. Like, he said he had it all. He would have never...
Is that his name, Gail?
Before you go, Torah anytime. He's right in the front. I'll show you. Okay. It's an interesting story. It's just a very interesting story to listen to. But this is the idea. Like, sometimes Hashem is kind of stripping you down just to... You've got to reevaluate again and build yourself back up. Do you know what I mean? But with what? With this connection to who he is. Mm-hmm. All right? So how do we know that our peckle is special for us? How do we know it's designed special?
Try it for anybody.
What? Yes, 100%. So there's that's a Jewish antidote, right? That if we were all in a room and we all had the backpack with our troubles, we would throw them down. Everybody, we could say, you can pick up whichever one you want. You go exactly to the one you want because that's the one you're wired to. And that is why often you're talking to people about their tzuris, right? They're sitting and telling you all their tzuris. And then they finish speaking, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe it, right? And they go, gee, I feel so much better. And they walk out. Because in the end, they have now sorted through and they're like readjusting their backpack. And you've just sort of picked up their backpack and you're overwhelmed because it's just so not in sync with, you know what I mean, your capability. Do you see what's going on? So that's another way that you really know, right, that you are wired for that stuff. All right? All right. So what we have to do when we are so when troubles come your way, so the Torah says, here are the words you ask. Madua. Okay, so madua sounds like what? You ask why? It sounds so blasphemous. So what are you really asking? Madua is made out of two words. Okay. It means ma de'a. What do I learn from this? Okay, so it's a very important reality. We also ask the word lama, which is another word for why. So lima, for what purpose? Okay, so this is one thing we do have to do, and that is not easy. Okay, I think this is one of the hardest parts of challenges. Now, anyone who's going through a challenge, you never have the chutzpah to say to them, oh, you need to do tshuva. You know what I mean? You need to do introspection.
Well,
you must be doing something
wrong.
Right. You never say something stupid like that. Okay? Because that is not your place. You're not Hashem. Mm-hmm. We don't understand sometimes how refined Hashem wants our souls to be and how we have glorious souls. And some people's souls are very, very glorious. And Hashem really wants to see it at the best that it can be. It's not so simple, right? So sometimes... these challenges, you do have to stop and think it through, okay? You have to think it through. So let me explain to you. The most obvious way that God deals with us is usually what we call mida. Do we know this idea? Mida kenegen mida. It's very much a measure for measure. So often, like some of the tzuris that you might get, you need to sometimes look at yourself and say, wait a minute, like, is there a measure for measure in this story? Like, you know, am I being... whatever. I'm trying to think of a good example. Does anybody have any ideas of a good example? Do you know what I mean? Like, you want to look for the measure for measure in something.
But sometimes, does it seem like it's even, you're getting it even worse than you gave it out before? Okay, I'll just tell you why. Like, there was once when I had a boyfriend, and I was very mean to that guy. I'll admit it. I was young and pretty, and I had a lot of power, and I was mean to that poor guy. Now my husband can be very mean to me, but it feels like I've been thinking about, is this me to connect? Right?
So
I've been
interesting.
Thinking about that.
It's interesting, very interesting. First of all, it could be you have a super sensitive soul. Could be Hashem is trying to wash any of this stuff off. Like, we do have to appreciate also with tzuris, like tzuris are like going into the washing machine. Do you know what I mean? You know how, like, you know when you're in the washing machine, it goes around like this and you get thrown around?
Yeah.
So sometimes, like, service are a form of, like, kind of cleansing your soul.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it could
for
be.
Sure.
It could be. I'm not God, I'm not a prophet, I'm not any of those things. But these are all things in a realm to think about. And it could be just, like, giving you a little, you know, a sensitivity.
But you have to accept it, right?
Yes.
You have to accept it. You have to acknowledge the source. And then you can say,
You could say mercy. You could say, like, one of the mitzvahs that I was teaching today is this mitzvah, which we don't do a lot of it. Like, it's, we don't think about it. And I was, this idea of, like, owning up, fessing up that you made a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, actually saying, I am sorry, and actually acknowledging that we don't always do everything so amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And then actually confessing it. Like, really, it's an interesting idea. And you know what? It was interesting. Like, before I came to the class, it's like, I said, I feel so funny doing this, and I'm even having a hard time talking about this. Like, what do you mean, confession? Like, it sounds so Christian-like. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's hard for us.
But it's not. And it's part of it.
It's totally. It's so what we are. It's so what we are. So, it really is to be able to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this. This really is a sin. I have got to stop. Mm-hmm. And I also have to really feel sorry that I did it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And then I really should make a plan that I'm not going to repeat it. And how am I going to do it? And it was very interesting. Like, they were saying, like, let's say somebody, really, it's hard for them to keep kosher. Okay, so it's hard for people. A lot of people don't keep kosher. But to really stop one day and say, you know what, it's not really right. You know what I mean? So let me start to try to make a change. So I'm going to say to myself, you know what, eating a ham sandwich is really wrong. Okay? So I'm really going to say, you know what, God, I'm trying my best to stop. I really want to tell you, I really regret that I eat a ham sandwich. And now I'm going to make a plan. But I know I can't just stop on a dime. So my plan's going to be, I'm only going to eat half a ham sandwich. Do you know that that's truth?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, but that's tshuva. It's not an all or nothing story. Mm-hmm. It's the point to say, I recognize that this, maybe I wasn't the best in this area. You have a lot of expectations.
But that's funny. That comes from a road from Kiruv, though. Because I've spoken to people in the so-called Bathurst Lawrence area who are what they call the FFB.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't believe in this, you know, teshuva a little bit at a time.
No,
Hashem
it is
gave
like
you
it.
The Torah.
It is like
Nishma, and there isn't.
I'll tell you why. Because
it's accepted, or you don't. How can you just keep a little kosher?
Because your body can't do that right away. You can't change that drastically. That's like the same thing when you're exercising and people walk in. I want to be an athlete. Yeah. Okay, hit you with 10 pounds, and in 2 minutes they're like they're out there. Oh, you know, last time I was here, you pulled my shoulder. You know what I mean? Yeah, because you took on 10 pounds, lady. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, and I've seen, whenever I've seen any of those drastic people in my Kiruv experience, I'm always like, give it a week. Yeah, it's a matter of time, and they're all going to be going flying exactly in the opposite direction, if not worse. Do you know what I mean? So,
and they also have to be willing to make that decision.
Right, like, right, right, right. You do have to be willing to make that decision, but this is what I'm saying. Yeah. Sometimes Hashem is kind of kicking you around and just trying to say, wake up.
Came from because I used to be involved with Jet, they were that sort of all or nothing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sadly, you know, a lot of people left because they couldn't grasp, you know, the all or nothing.
The problem is, what's the flip side to this? The flip side to this is, but you can't sit on the fence forever. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people I deal with who just like sit on the fence forever, and they just want you to comfort them. They just want you to say, it's good enough to be a Jew in your heart. It isn't good enough to be a Jew in your heart. I'm just being honest, because unless your heart's also, it's a muscle. Got to get worked. If you're not going to work it, then all this doesn't really translate into something.
But it's not our job to judge others.
100%. 1 million gazillion quadrillion percent. And for all I know, maybe for this person, this was a huge, you know what I mean, change. Right? We have to appreciate that. But we do have to appreciate that when we are getting hit, and it's not fun and it's not easy, but to actually say, the Torah tells you, it's a time to introspect. Look at this whole concept of the Mita Keneged Mita. Say, you know what, Hashem, I know this is coming from you. It's a great bar of soap. Okay? You know, and I accept that part of it. I get it. You know, it's gonna help me, but it's only going to help me if I'm going to be able to manage to get through this, and I can't do it without you. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes you have to introspect. Am I doing stupid things? Did I make some stupid decisions? And Hashem is telling me, you know what? You made some silly decisions. You're not going to get out of here unless I kick you this way. Right? Like, you know, like something, right? Like, I think we all know that. Like, sometimes we've made a decision, we put ourselves into a position, we're stuck. And the truth is, we need to leave. And Hashem's not, like, we're not taking the initiative, so God sort of takes the initiative around you to make it happen, and then you leave, and you move on, and you become that better person. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. I'm not ever minimizing this.
But can I just ask you about the meeting? Can I get meet it? So is there always a message from Hashem in the way that you're getting it?
It depends who you will speak to. Like, there are some rabbis who are very into this. Like, I know Rabbi Mizrahi is totally into
this. Yeah, the Sephardis are really into this.
The Sephardis are so into
this. They see a message.
Yeah, they see everything. Ashkenazim are much more wary to point a finger and say this to this, to this, to this, to that.
Now
you're going to get this.
But I think that you and yourself see it.
Yes.
You and yourself, you make that.
But everyone will say, you know, it's important for you to really be honest and introspect. And then to go to somebody who is... subjective, who is, you know, a Torah person, either a great friend, you know what I mean, a friend who really cares about your spiritual needs and really knows you, or to a rabbi, to be able to really discuss it.
Right.
Like, to say, look, this is what's happening to me, Jonah, this is how I'm feeling, I did do this in the past, do you think this is related? Do you know what I'm saying? And bottom line, to do tshuva is always a good thing, you know what I mean? Like, regardless, right? To go through that process is always a good thing. We live in a generation, really, and this is what you're watching today, right now, on this political arena, is that saying I made a mistake is almost impossible.
Oh, yeah.
People are just living for this image. It's their ego of image. The ego of image gives you a very, very hard time being able to say, maybe I'm also at fault. Maybe not 100%, maybe not, you know, 90%, but maybe 70%, maybe 50%. Like, we have a very hard time today. And you're not living in a world that accepts it. It's like, right? It's a very, right? So it's hard. Okay, so now, here is a very interesting story that Rabbi Tursky says about his great-grandfather. So he said he was a very, very, what we call chashuv a person. What's a chashuv a person? Like a very, holy and learned and important. So he had a magnum opus, like what his greatest work that he wrote. Okay, he wrote a sefer, and we have to realize in those days they didn't have photocopies, you know, and it wasn't in your computer, you know what I mean, and stashed for 100 other places. You sit there and write it by hand, all right? And this is your work of a lifetime. And he had it in his house, in his library, and while he was at shul, the house went on fire and it burnt to the ground. All right? So the Hasidim came to tell him. They said, Rebbe, we're so sorry to tell you, and your whole thing burnt to the ground. To which he said, Oy, bring me a l'chaim. So they said, what? So he said, bring a l'chaim. So he took a drink, and he's made a l'chaim with them. And they said, Rebbe, what are you doing? So he said, the Torah tells you, just like you're supposed to be mevarech al hatov, just like you make a blessing for the good, you make a blessing for the bad, right? Which is like, something good happens, you say, baruch hatova meitiv. So blessed is the one who does good, right? And brings good. Yes. And when someone passes away, what do you say? You make a bracha also. Right, Baruch Dayan Emes, which is blessed is the rightful judge. So not that I get it, not that I understand it, but that I know that this is true. Whatever this is what it is, it was meant to be, there is a reason. So the student said, oh, so Rebbe, we get that part. We get that part. So we get it. You said L'chaim because you're supposed to be just as happy, right? Just for the good as for the bad. So then tell us, why'd you say oi? Why'd you say oi and then make a L'chaim? So he said, because the Torah tells you, when you're in pain, you're in pain. So yes, this pain is good for me, right? You're going to get your teeth extracted, you know what I mean? Anybody who had their wisdom teeth done, you know, their chickmunk face. So yeah, but this pain was good for me. I had my appendix out, yay! I had my tonsils out, I had the adenoids out. Whatever it is, you are in pain, but this pain is still good for you. But the Torah tells you, you have to recognize that you are in pain and you have to accept it. Because the more we start to push it away, they say, tell you, even now when you have anxiety today, they try to tell you, live with the, like, face the anxiety. Like, don't run from the anxiety. Don't keep going, I'm not really feeling it. This is not, because it just makes you 10 times more anxious, right?
Yeah. As unless it gets to a point where it takes things over.
Right, 100%.
Isn't it the case that you basically, like, if I'm afraid of birds, okay, listen, bird is right up there.
Yeah.
I'm afraid it's okay. I'm just going to keep walking.
Yes.
It's okay.
Exactly. Exactly. So you have to face the reality. You cannot run from it. So this is a very important idea. So he says Rabbi Brody. So Rabbi Brody was a real commando. You know this Rabbi Brody who's the Breslover?
Yeah.
He was really up there in the Israeli army.
Him? Isn't he American?
Yes, but he lived in Israel and he was drafted into the army and became one of their better, more whatever the word is, more prestigious soldier.
He now translates for the...
Yes, for Rabbi Rabbi Arush, right?
Right.
Yes.
I saw him at the Kahilu
Yes,
Center,
yes.
Yeah.
That Rabbi Brody.
Okay.
So... how did he become religious? They sent them on a suicide mission. He didn't realize. You know, like sometimes they put you onto a mission that the chances are so slim. Everybody stepped on, was in a minefield. Everybody stepped on one. All of the people.
No, seriously, I personally know that that army can make you crazy.
Yeah, yeah, no. Right. So they all, yeah, for sure. So everybody was killed but him. So he really believed that there has to be a reason that I'm here.
Wow.
Why I survived.
Wow, how did you know that?
He tells it in one of his tapes, in one of the stories. Like, wow. He has a lot of these different tapes on Emuna. So he said a good point. Like he said, when you're in the army, right, and you're a soldier, and you become wounded in your right hand, right, like let's say you're in the field, right, and you have one gun, right, and you're a righty, you're holding it in your right hand, and you get shot in the hand, you have to recognize that you're in pain, and then what do you have to do?
You have to totally put it to your left hand.
100%.
And start
good
fighting.
For you. Good for you. That's what you have to do. So in other words, you have to recognize you're in pain, but you can't wallow in it. The minute you grab your hand and go, oh my God, look what they did! He said, you're finished. You have to be able to go, I'm in pain, now move it. Do you know what I mean? And this is kind of what he says.
Yeah.
That's what our lives are like. Mm. So yes, I recognize I'm in pain. This Rebbe said, yeah, I'm in pain. I lost my entire life's work. But I got to move forward. Do you see what I'm saying? I got to move forward. So pain, it's there to wake you up for something, but it isn't there to capture you. And this is the beauty, I think, of Judaism. Like whenever I think of the whole mourning period, mm-hmm. like the way Hashem, like it is like a gift Hashem gave to all
Absolutely.
Of us. Literally a gift. Do you know what I mean? All those people today, like there are a lot of people like, I don't want to sit Shiva, it's such a waste of time. And I think
sit by somebody's grave for
yeah,
months and
right,
months.
Right, right. Either way, Hashem says this is the end of the story. It's not healthy. And he also gives you a whole vision. We have to appreciate also that we believe in a world to come. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like we feel like this person was lost or there's no influence or I'll never... Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's a whole much bigger picture for us. So the mourning, you can see where it can close and has its place mm-hmm. and has its part, you know? But these are beautiful ideas, all right? But this is an important reality for us. Therefore, it's a very interesting halacha on Pesach. This is unbelievable. Do you know that when you eat maror on Pesach, if you just gulp it down, you're not yotzei eating the maror? Do you know that? You have not fulfilled the mitzvah of eating more on Pesach. You need to chew it.
You have to teach Menachem to chew it?
You have to chew it because you need to learn that there is a process. And that process may be painful and it may be a challenge. But at the end of that Seder, that maror, right, turns into... freedom. It turns into something different. It becomes something different. This, I also think today in the world that we live in, is murder. You are not used to being in pain. You are not used to a process. It was very interesting what the Dr. Lieberman said. He said, once upon a time, cause and effect were much more connected. Today, they're much more apart. Why? Used to be, you overate, you got sick, you threw up, you felt sick. Today, you overeat, you take an antacid, you take a, yeah. you know, whatever, you take a this, you take that. Same thing like if you even drank too much. You drank too much, you'd be wallowing the next day, your liver kill you. Now you take a Tylenol, you got something to take this off and some. So we're not used to realizing there are really some negative consequences to what the choices are that we make. Do you know what I'm saying? We're still trying to move around them. Like, it's not that bad. It's not this. I didn't do something so terrible. So what's the difference? Do you know what I mean? And today, like, even, like, I hate to say this, with birth control, with all this kind of stuff, what's gone, the sexual revolution. Do you know what I mean? Like, people can sleep with anything today.
Monsters.
It's created monsters. Selfish mm-hmm. monsters.
Selfish
people monsters. Using people. Do you know what I mean? Abusing people. Mm-hmm. There's no... Do you know what I'm saying? Because there is no... Do you see what's happening?
No consequences.
Yes, no consequences. Okay? Okay. So what I've seen, which I think works well with the challenges, so some challenges, like, that's why I say, when you get challenges that you can correct, then you have been given the biggest bracha in the world. You must appreciate that. But when you get these challenges, that can be very long-term. Do you know what I mean? Those are a very different kind of challenge. And that kind of challenge has to come with an acceptance of a new reality. Do you know what I mean? So, right?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Well, yeah. I was just at a bar mitzvah, and one of the things I've learned is to, when you're at a simcha,
yeah,
or you get invited to a simcha, and you there's a chance for joy, you go for it.
Good for you. So well
said. And I remember at one point thinking, there's this little voice that said, what if people are judging me? That how can I be so happy when I have suffering? And I went, okay, well, that's people, you know, it's everyone's job to judge me favorably, but I know I have to be like enjoy this moment so much.
Could you imagine?
So that's good advice.
No,
so I think that I have the capacity to experience more joy. It's ironically
because you have a greater appreciation for mm-hmm. life. You don't mm-hmm. take
Absolutely.
Things for granted.
So
yeah. But sometimes, like, acceptance of a new reality is, like, sometimes you can, you know, you can give birth to a child and, you know, they're not that well, but then you know, like, in a couple years, they'll outgrow it. And then sometimes you give birth to a child and you know they're never outgrowing it.
So it's just acceptance, really.
That's yes, it really is. Acceptance. It's acceptance of a new reality, because the other reality you can go back to. You can go back to the what I wish it would be. Like, yeah, in a couple years, this kid's going to grow out of this and he'll be normal just like everybody else. So as much as I just have to accept, it's a short term. Do you know what I mean? Like, you feel like it'll go away. It's going to go away. But sometimes things are not going to go away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you
right.
have to
like
accept that this is your...
Heroin addict,
exactly.
And that's
exactly. That's it. I have a friend like that. This is a new reality.
I know. I
knew
somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. That's
died.
A different reality.
He eventually died.
Right.
But that's the difficulty. Right. Like, when do you sit there yeah. and say, this is my new reality? And when do you sit there and say... There's still hope. Like, okay.
I don't think you give up hope.
Yeah, yeah. But I agree. You
can
always take hope with you, but you have to deal with the cards that you have.
Okay, let's say a sick child, for example. God, chas v'shalom, this should ever happen to anybody.
Yeah.
But, like, let's say you have a sick child, and you try, and, like, you know that nothing, like, I think you said this over Shabbos, like, you try, and you never give up hope. You
right.
never give up
so
hope.
So you never
you
give
never,
up hope.
You're never giving up
but
hope.
You may have to,
but you,
right,
you,
but you have to deal with the new.
When you accept the new reality,
are you giving up hope?
That's
what you're asking.
That's a good question.
That's a very good question. It's not. I don't think you're giving up hope. You need hope in your new... It's that story, you know, with the special... You know, there's a very beautiful poem out there with this mom who said, I had a plane ticket to go to Italy or something. Does anyone know this?
Yeah.
Kathy Laszlo uses this all the time yeah. with her Danny stories. Mm-hmm. So one of this, it's, I think it's like this person had a trip. They plan to go to Italy, and they're so excited, and they're talking about the gondoliera and the spaghetti and everything that's going to be in Italy. It's going to be great. And then they end up, you know, like giving birth to this mm-hmm. child that they didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, that's like having to go to Holland now. Mm-hmm. And now what I have to do is, while I'm in Holland, like, I had an expectation of going to Italy. I had an expectation of having a healthy child. Now I got an unhealthy child. Mm-hmm. So now I got stuck in Holland.
Right.
But now, while I'm in Holland, I've got to see the tulips in Holland. I've got to mm-hmm. see the this in Holland. So the new reality mm-hmm. is, like, I can take all the hopefulness into my new reality.
Okay.
But can I always pretend that now this is going to turn around, and you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
you know, you may hope that there is a...
If you do that, if you live in denial, then you're not able to see all the tulips in Holland.
Yes.
If you,
Exactly. You're just stuck. Exactly. So you'll be stuck because you're in between. You're in a no man's land, right? Mm-hmm. So part of this. Okay. So the Torah tells you there's five incredible people in the Torah that saw the world destroyed, saw their world destroyed. Oh, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Love we did this. Yeah. It's good for us to remember it. Yeah. Eov. Good for you. Five people. In the end, they were blessed to see it recreated, but not everybody will necessarily see that. I want people to appreciate that. That's not an easy test. May Hashem never give it to any of us. Mm-hmm. But some people will not necessarily in this world, you know, see that idea where we say, you know, it's all good in the end. If it isn't good, it isn't the end. Yeah. When we say that, we mean end. Okay. We don't necessarily mean the end in this world. May Hashem bless us. We should always be able. Like, it's wonderful when you can see it in hindsight. That's what we said with Moshe. When Moshe says to God, why do you make this world so terrible? So God says to him, look, I'm really sorry, because he said, can I see your face? I want to really understand the depth to why bad things happen to good people. So Hashem said to him, I'm really sorry, you'll never be able to understand my face as long as you're alive. As long as you're confined in a body that is beyond, that is stuck in time, you can't see the big, big picture. You could maybe see my back. What does that mean? That you can see sometimes in hindsight why Hashem did what he did. Right? Yeah. Why you lost this job? Why this one? You know, why you broke up with this boyfriend? In the end, it's like, yes! Okay, you find out later it was a mess, you know, whatever. Rape the guy, you know, and you're like, yes! Thank you, God! But when it happened, I hope my whole heart was broken. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's what, so Hashem says that to Moshe. So let's just see, what were the things that these five people were able to do, that they were able to survive through such incredible tragedy? So it's Moshe, Mordechai, Eov, Yosef, and Noach. Okay?
Moshe, Mordechai, Eov,
Yosef, and Noach. Okay, so Noach, we know for sure, he literally saw the destruction of the world. Like, we have to appreciate that. I mean, you ever imagine that? Like, imagine the whole, I mean, God forbid, that would be like a nuclear disaster. You walk out with your, it was a nuclear disaster. Yeah, it was a nuclear disaster. Not stone. Noah is the ark, the story of the ark.
Oh, right.
Right, right. So that's the entire, right, okay. So I'm talking about the entire world.
Right. Wow.
Like, chas v'shalom. Like,
right.
I mean, I'm sure people who survived the Holocaust probably felt that way. People who, like, you know, when she tells the story, you know, Mrs. Hoffman, and says three, she was, I think there was only three people out of her whole area. Right? Yeah. Like, Chalila v'chas, you know, like, imagine, like, the whole, whatever, I don't even want to go there, but you know what I'm saying? To have to survive that, and now...
And to keep going.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
To have children.
Yeah. And to have any humanity
at all. I mean,
and now she has great grandchildren.
Great, 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 great.
Amazing.
Okay, so Mordechai. So Mordechai, we have to appreciate that story. Boy, we do not get it. The complete annihilation of us, okay? You have to understand that whenever we went into exile, Hashem set it up that although one pocket was being destroyed, there was always another pocket of Jews somewhere else who were surviving, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, Europe burns and America is still okay, right?
Yeah.
So, right? And there's Jews still in America. In Mordechai's time, it would have been, chas v'shalom, the end of all of us. Ahasuerus had 127 provinces. That was the only place that the Jews lived.
They weren't in Judea?
No. They were already in exile. Every single Jew was in those 127 provinces. No one would have escaped. So that was not a small disaster, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so we have to appreciate that. Eov, his whole life is turned upside down, right? Loses his kids, he loses his money, he loses his way, he loses everything, he loses his health, everything. Yosef loses his entire family. Okay, so you see, like, the magnitude here. All right?
And his life.
Right. So Yosef loses, right? Sees the complete destruction of his family. Moshe can see the destruction of the Jewish people. Again, incredible amounts of suffering. Right? So there's one word in the Torah that when it talks about any of them, okay, there is always this word next to them, Hoya, and it was. Like, and Noah, and it was. They always have that word connected to them. And it was in their days, and it was. Okay, so this word, Hoya. Okay, and it was. So the Torah tells you, how is it that somebody... How is it that somebody is able to survive? Because they have to be able to say, and it was. They have to be able to move forward. This is what it was in the past. but now is my new reality. That's the only way. If you took the Holocaust with you, I have one friend that I feel so sad for. She always says that to me. My mother's like at 90-something now. She says that mother never let it go, not for one day. Do you know what I mean? Not for one day. Yeah, that's a major, like major conversation. Was always, you know what I mean? It's, so you don't.
But I get that too, though.
Oh, I get it too. I get it too. Yeah. I get it too. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very
sad for them. Like you see the there with my mother-in-law, who we really respected and loved. That was her way of keeping the memories of her family alive. Yeah, and that was her way of.
So she did she talk about it all day,
all the time. But and it would be like, the grandchildren are here. Maybe we could just injure because we want to bring light to you. Soften your burden. And
very, very.
But these
hard.
Are people. From what I'm getting from what you're saying, these are people who say never let it go, but never let it be expressed. Like my grandmother, for example. I still don't. I know one person on my mother's side.
Yeah,
that was Michael. Yeah. Because my brother was named after father.
Yeah,
I know nothing about my grandmother's side. Right. So it's like she's always had it. This little 4'6", 96-year-old woman, almost actually 97 now. Like she's got so much. Hating her so much, and nobody is able to know.
Take it out.
Nobody's able to take it out. Nobody's able to know anything about what's going on.
It's hard.
And so
it's hard.
Is that like what you were saying?
In a way. Yeah. So let me explain it to you because it's a very tricky reality to be able to survive all this. The Torah tells you. So one is vehaya that you have to be able to say, and it was. Do you know what I mean? And it was. So what is that? That's this idea of an acceptance of a new reality. But on the other hand, the word vahaya is a palindrome, which means it goes spelled the same way front and back. So which means as much as I can say it was in the past and I'm moving forward, I have to look behind my shoulders and I have to take that legacy of the past with me. Do you see what I'm saying? I can't get stuck in the past. It's almost like I have, but I can't forget the past either.
Sometimes, though, don't you think it's better if the past is dead and gone?
So interesting. But not if you loved it and not if you learned from it. Do you know what I mean? Like, for Yosef, that was the only thing that saved him. Had he said that this would be dead and gone, then he would not have been able to pass, like, that test with Ashes Potiphar. So when Yosef is sold down to slavery, right, he ends up being, like, the almost like the butler in this man's house named Potiphar. Okay, so Potiphar really was not a very moral person. He really was gay. He really wasn't, and he really wanted Yosef as a partner, whatever. That's really what that story is. Okay, I know.
And the woman was going at him.
And the woman was going at him too.
He did it with everything.
Yeah, do you understand? So this woman, obviously, is married to this guy. And poor Joseph is a 17-year-old, like, gorgeous man. Like, the Torah goes out of its way to tell you how beautiful he is. Right? He ends up becoming the role model for all men. Like, no men can say, well, you know, I couldn't help myself. If Yosef could help himself, you could help yourself. In other words, like, who got that DNA in you so you can't get away with that excuse? Okay, anyway, so what's the story here? So Yosef, how was it that he was able to hold himself back? Like, there's a point, like, first of all, he's a person who you would say his family wanted to kill him. He lost his family. You would not want to care anymore. You sold me down here. I'm going to be what I'm supposed to be down here, a player. Like, leave me alone. I don't have to take you with me. But what happens, they say that while she was trying to seduce him, he turns and there was a mirror and he looked at his face. His face was a very, very, looked very, very much like his father. Mm. That's why they say that those boys, when they finally met him and he said, Ani Yosef Chai, they were in such denial. He looked exactly like his dad.
Wow.
But when you do something you don't want to believe is wrong,
you don't want to face.
You won't face it. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. So the Torah tells you, because he looked in the mirror and he could go back to his past and remember where he really came from and remember the holiness and remember what his father really wanted from him. Do you see? Then he was able to move forward.
That was so good memory, though.
Yes.
That's what about it. The bad?
When the memories are really terrible and they're really painful and they're really hurtful, you dealt with it, you can say goodbye.
Yeah,
do
I think
I mean?
So.
You really can.
Okay?
You don't have to bring up relationships or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you did what you had to do, that's the end of the story. It's time to move on, to let go. That's the idea, right? But this is a beautiful idea of how to be able to face, you know what I mean? So I remember that we have to appreciate, like, all of us, it's interesting, our challenges are within a big picture. That's the whole idea about, you know, that each one of us is a shining star, but each star belongs to a constellation. So we're still, so we always have, you know, like the individual soul, the individual power, but it's really part of a big picture. So where did I really see this the most? Years ago, when my daughters were still at Beis Yaakov, they did this night to honor all the grandparents, to grandmothers, and they actually interviewed grandmothers in different parts of the world during World War II. And it was so fascinating to see. So they would be interviewing like this one woman who survived the Holocaust. She said, I was a young, like, cause the idea was, what was it like to be a teenager in 1930-something, right? 36. So she said, here I was a teenager. Like, my parents were ripped away from me. I'm trying to survive a Holocaust. My parents begged me, please just take care of your sisters. And she was this, like, young girl trying to, you know, go through all these incredible stories, and she starts telling the stories, and you're like, oh my gosh. And then meanwhile, simultaneously, you know, there's like grandmothers growing up in New York, mm-hmm. and she's saying, like, you know, I have like my problems, like I had a pimple, you know what I'm saying? I know, who was I going to go to the, mm-hmm. like, you know what I'm saying? And you're watching, and then they're in the interview was Rabbi Isaiah's mother, you know, from the Sephardi Kids Center.
Sure, yeah.
In Eretz Yisrael, she talked about the poverty.
Yeah, grinding.
Mm-hmm. Grinding poverty. She said, I think she had one dress.
Oh, yeah. And they all, 11 of them, lived in one
yes,
room.
Yes, yes. Grinding poverty in one.
Unbelievable.
Do you know what I'm saying? And this is all going on. And then you're figuring out how everybody's personal life really affects the bigger picture of the Jewish people. Because the one at the end with the pimple, the one who's talking about the pimple, was talking about like how her mother, you know, like her mother, like in those days, like nobody was keeping Shabbos anymore. In America, it was like a desert. The religious reality of America was a complete assimilation. You had to work on Shabbos. Yeah. So, you know, she was talking about like how her parents made that choice not to work on Shabbos. Do you know what I'm saying? So everybody was giving, do you know what I mean? So although it seemed like a personal challenge, it's a light that's being thrown into the pond and everybody's thing is rippling out. That's what Hashem is saying. You're caring, like each and every one of us lends strength to the other one. Like, and that's what I see with your daughter. That's what I see with your daughter. Your daughter is exactly that example. Like, I read these emails, and then I tell them over. Because isn't it true? It's true. Because your daughter drops that little, the rock in of Amuna. She drops Amuna. She's
19.
Like, she has a soul. I told people this is like an ancient soul. This is a soul of a very halakhic soul. She has a very different soul. Do you know what I mean? And she, what I love about her, she's so real. Mm-hmm. Like that first mm-hmm. sentence, mm-hmm. like it was just what I feel like all of us, we get in that funk, you know, like so much better to just be down. Like I don't even know why people want to be happy. Like we almost like, you know, this fits, you know, and then the way she flips it, then she goes, no, then I realize I got to talk to myself. I got to move out of this. I got to be, she is her own, like.
I think that the conference call that you gave her, that opportunity to create that, was gave her the taught her on a daily basis how to transform that darkness into, okay, I need to find something, I need to find the lights so that I have something to share with others, because the idea that that she was for others, that connection, that if I have to go through the, just so so that daily practice that you set up for her,
yeah, it's an amazing story.
Just something she can do now,
because I think that's what the Torah tells you, like when you're like what she wrote was beautiful. She wrote that when you're in the world and you just see the problems, then you're part of the problems. Mm-hmm. But when you see the darkness and you see there's problems and you see the solution, then that's the light you need to bring. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful way of
looking
it.
That she gets from me.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh, that's very true.
Well, that's
but she
like,
does. You know, but she does get
problem,
that from you.
But then you also have to
give you're 100% that way. You are 100%. That's very true. So this idea, no, but it's the truth. So this idea is a very important reality. So a lot of times the Torah tells you, when you have to deal with your challenges, a way sometimes to get out of it and to move forward is to give.
Right.
Is to give. Like, instead of thinking, everybody's got to still give to me. If you, like, I see that that's it's the cure to everything.
It's a weird thing.
Because that's what it means when the Torah tells you that we were created to be a star. Because a star is not like the moon and not like the sun. The star enables the moon's light. Do you know what I mean? It's there to help them. Mm-hmm. And really, in the end, our greatest feelings and the best feelings we have is when we do for others. That doesn't mean others outside of your family. It doesn't. Sometimes that other is you. Sometimes it's within your Dalit Amus. And sometimes it is you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the most important parts to realize in this picture. You know?
Put the oxygen on yourself.
Yes, yes, yes. Otherwise, you can't give it to anybody else. Okay?
As long as you can, as long as you have something to give, there's good. Like, there's, in terms of how we deal with our day-to-day,
I agree.
With High Lifeline, that's something we talk about a lot, that we're often in a place where we're recipients, so that as long as we feel we have something to give, then we know we're okay, and
that's a beautiful way of looking at it. So this
I'm working on the logo around that, but it's a really important insight, I think, into
good for you.
Health, into well-being.
You know, the one thing, I don't know if